Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? So, what is today's date? 20th. So, we're coming to the end of January already. I think there's only one person who is new today. It's Andrew. Say hello, Andrew. Yeah. So Andrew is. How do you come here today? Tell us. I already did the easy part for you. I introduce you. Huh? You walk over here. Wow, where do you stay? How did you walk here? Do you walk here yourself? Your papa, who is your papa? Who? What's your papa's name?
Leo.
Must say my papa's name is Leo. Don't Leo. Welcome, welcome. So, just now I was having some thoughts. You know what I said last time, right? About how when we were having the Pure Land Sutra, one who requested for Pure Land teaching after a while stopped attending. I can't remember who asked for Diamond Sutra, but I got a feeling the one who requested for Diamond Sutra also disappeared. Yeah. Huh?
I was one of the people who asked.
One of the few people who asked. Who else asked? Should take attendance next time. Yeah. So as a result, I was thinking, the teaching is for you all. I mean, I can read this on my own. So, if those who, if it doesn't benefit people enough for them to come, then we should stop this series of class and resume SGC as it was. But we cannot just stop abruptly. So we'll cover up to, let me see. We'll probably cover up to the first section. Yeah, so, which is, maybe just one more, maybe we can even cover it today. Well, how come when I see it? Oh, how come suddenly so many pages, huh? Let me see, So I think up to this point should be okay. So anyway, let's move up the slide, the projector's screen today. Yeah, sometimes I feel that we are doing too much to spoon feed you all. Yeah, traditionally in the Buddha's time, when Buddha speak, they have to really listen. You know, yeah. When my teacher was teaching, he didn't use PowerPoint slide, he didn't write anything, he didn't even give us handouts. Yeah, we only have the text. I mean, we do have the text, but we got to really pay attention, listen. And recordings were not available yet, the books were not available yet. So if we miss the class, we miss the class, we have to wait until the publication team get it out, which is usually some years later. Unless you are part of the publication team, then you have the raw tape. So, and then I was thinking after Chinese New Year, about maybe 3-4 years back, when we started SGC, it was at 2 p.m., 2 to 3:30, Then later we shifted to 1 to 2:30. Then that was because of the Heart Sutra class in the Buddhist Union. Yeah, the timing gap was a bit far apart. There were 3 hours apart. So then we decided to shift it to 1 p.m. Then and then later on we shifted 1 to 2:30 to 1 to 3. Yeah. So after Chinese New Year, yeah, after that when we come back, then we'll start at 1:30 instead. But we'll still end at 3. Yeah. We'll still end at 3. In a way it's standardizing all my classes to 1.5 hours. Yeah. In US our classes used to be 2 to 2.5 hours. Yeah. And many times when it finished we were like, ah, 1 hour. Yeah. We were so hungry for more. So anyway, Andrew, welcome to SRC. Yeah. Today we are covering the Diamond Sutra. Today is the third week of the month. So on the first and third week, we'll see how much we can cover before we end this series. Some students shared that some thought that this is a registered class. So that's why they didn't attend. The kind of, to me, all kinds of funny reasons people give. Like, there are so many ways to, whenever the notice is up, yeah, there are so many ways to read that. They will read it in a way that prevents them from coming. It's like, yeah. So anyway, some of you, I know some of you still want to continue learning this. The book is available online, I think. You can actually go and read it. If adequate number of you are interested, we can have a separate class, like a book study group on this. Yeah. So think about it. We are at, well, I shall not tell you the page because you are not having the book anyway. We are at the section where it is the opening and the Venerable Shibuti, yeah, has requested the Buddha to give some teachings and ask him how a person, yeah, this is a bit of a recap, how a man or woman may cultivate to subdue their mind, yeah, to practice, to abide in and subdue their mind. Yeah. But not just any particular man or woman. Those specific men and women who have aroused and evoked bodhicitta. Yeah. It's directed to this group. So the Buddha replied that accordingly. Yeah. So my teacher explained and we went through part of it, and the last session we covered this part here. 若软身若胎身若湿身若化身, yeah. Then 若有色若无色若有想若无想若非有想非无想, yeah, and so on. So up to this point, so we covered, and then I went through the different the descriptions of the different realms, and then got a feeling it fly over the head of some numbers of them. Yeah, sometimes some devotees ask like, "How, Sifu, Buddhism? You know, young people don't want to learn, old people too old to learn." And yeah, working adults too busy to learn, and how? Yeah, bo pian ah. Buddhism is not an easy religion. Yeah, Buddhism doesn't have a simple solution to the complex problem we have. Yeah, there is no simple solution. Yeah. It is much easier if we were to choose a belief that we are the only beings in this world that matter. Very easy. And in many ways, as a person, we will see that many people live our life in this way. Even if we just look at human beings, do we think about all human beings? Not really. And who's to blame? Even Singapore, do we think about all possible Singaporeans? We also don't. Yeah. So in our world, who are the beings that exist? The first being we think about is me. Yeah. I mean, this is natural and understandable. Yeah. If you start off don't thinking about yourself, something is wrong also. Yeah. Because the only person's hunger you can experience is your own. The only person's anxiety is your own. And so on. So naturally, in our world, we would first and foremost be aware of, you know, this being. And then beyond that, we may be somewhat aware of those beings near to us, namely our family, and then perhaps our friends. Yeah. Of course, we are sort of aware that there are other 5-point-something million Singaporeans, yeah, 5.8 over million Singaporeans around us. Yeah. Among which some of whom we call friends, some we call colleagues, others we call neighbors, and then some called ex-friends, ex-colleagues, ex-classmates, and so on and so forth. And majority we call them strangers. Yeah. Occasionally we chance upon someone that looks interesting and we give that person a second look. Sometimes it is because it's very outlandish, sometimes it's because we find it attractive. Other times we in our world, suddenly this or that particular being, person, becomes more important in our life because they are approving our application for something we want. Yeah. To that end, that person exists. After we get our application done, that person stops existing again. Yeah. So, without bringing in religion, most of us live our life in this way. So we don't really consider the full complexity of the whole society, even as far as just Singapore is concerned. Yeah. So think about it. That even without bringing in religion, this is how we consider this world. And this is how we live. And perhaps this is how we manage our life. Because, you know, as it is, even just this boundary, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. Huh? On some days, still quite okay. Yeah. Some of you have one child, some two child, some three, some four. Yeah, I don't know whether nowadays anybody have 7 or 8 like in the past. Yeah, but even just like that, if you think about the larger scheme of things, in a way, it is a simplification of our complex society. But even this simplification or oversimplification can be overwhelming. So, naturally and understandably, when people come to religion, let's say Buddhism, is to find a solution for their seemingly complex life. Yeah. And usually people come to religion when they cannot quite figure things out. Yeah. 无事不登三宝殿嘛. Yeah. Yeah. When that you have no problem, you don't come to the triple gem. Yeah. You don't come to the to Buddhism. But I mean, I'm not saying that all of you got problem. Yeah. There are those who come only when they have problem. There are those who come not because they currently have problem, but they see that there's a larger problem at hand. Yeah. The problem of life and death. Or they see that while they don't have immediate problems, there are a lot of depth in Buddhism, in the wisdom, in the Dharma, that can prepare themselves for potential problems in the future. Much like when you go to school every day, it's not that there's exams every day, but you are learning to make yourself better, to become more knowledgeable, and also because there's exams at the end of the day. Part of the reason. Yeah. So no wonder Buddhism is not exactly seen as being very attractive. Yeah. Because it's instead of simplifying our problem, it seems to aggravate the situation. Like you come to Buddhism with one problem, then the Sifu tell you, oh, guess what? That's just the start, Like, you have not even gotten started yet. And then as you learn more Dharma, then you're like, oh, now I got more problem. Yeah. And then the little joys of our life that used to be the little joys of our life start to be seen as problems as well. And then it's like, gosh, my life has become like manifold more complicated. Yeah. And then, and just when you thought that it was complicated enough, then here, 所有一切众生之类, that the Bodhisattva don't just look at Singaporeans, don't just look at family and friends, don't just look at human beings, but all sentient beings of all different categories. 若卵生,若胎生,若湿生,若化身. And then that's where Daddy, what is Sifu talking about? Why is he speaking Mandarin now? Yeah. Then you have the challenge of languages. And then finally when you figure out what that means, it's like, what? Why is this categorization of beings different from science? In science we talk about mammals and reptiles, we talk about animals and vegetables, living organisms and non-living organisms. We talk about, there's that part about Ruansen and womb. Womb seems to be mammal based, but what is this? What birth by moisture? Is it talking about germs? Is it talking about worms? What's it talking about? Let's ask Sifu. I think you better don't ask Sifu, because usually if you ask Sifu, it becomes even more complicated. Yeah. And that's all true. It usually does become more complicated. Yeah. But why is it so complicated? If the suttas is to be taken for its words, then it's because that's how complicated the world is as seen by the Buddha, as seen by the Bodhisattvas, as seen by the Arahants and those with the ability to see it as it is. Not that the Buddha purposely make it more complicated so we have more Dharma classes, Like, Sifu, actually maybe SGC just 15 minutes each week, then we can get enlightened in seven sessions, then you all make it so complicated, so it seems like there's no end. Yeah, but our world is that complex. Yeah. Our world is that complex. Because even in science, when you do really go into the classification, then you realize that the current classification is not a full stop. Yeah. And it didn't start off that way as well. Hundreds and thousands of years ago, classification of the existence of beings were vastly different from how we have it now today as well. And we'll continue to evolve and change and, be developed further in science, because as we encounter new forms of beings, then scientists are like, I guess maybe we need to change this, because some guy just wrote a paper and gave evidence that, look, there's some new beings that seem to exist in a very strange way, but they do exist. Yeah. So this classification is meant to include all possible permutation, but in a way it is broad categories. Yeah. So you have those that is born through X. Yeah. Born through X meaning not just presence of X, but like hatch from X. And the second would be those that is born through the womb. The third category is where the description goes that as long as there's moisture, then that being can continue to mature and then ultimately come to become born. Yeah. I've tried to look for different sources. Some suggest some teachers suggest that it actually is refers to those microorganism, yeah. Because in some suttas, the Buddha did highlight that in the container of water, I was going to say glass, but then high chance in the Buddha's time, glass wasn't really, you know, prefab glass was not common yet. There's no plastic cup. Yeah, so some container of water. The Buddha said that there are worms inside that only is only visible through the naked eye, and not through the divine eye, psychic eye. Yeah, and that the disciples with psychic vision, when consuming water, should not use the divine eye to encompass the water. Otherwise, you would be breaking the first precept. Yeah. There are so many layers to this incident. Yeah. If you consider, there's the angle from the precepts. Yeah. What constitutes a violation of the precepts? That in this case, there's the cognition, the perception of a being, yeah, being one of the factor. And then there is also the intent involved, yeah, to consume and so on. Yeah. And then there's also the other layer that, big question mark. Was the Buddha referring to the microorganism where that cannot be seen through the naked eye? Yeah. That in those days, or for those with the psychic vision, then it's equivalent to using the microscope where you can actually see. And if you look at today's microscopic images of bacteria or microbes or whatever, it does look like worms moving around in some ways. So there's those teachers who put one and one together and say, well, this second category would refer to those living, micro living organism, where they can sort of go into a suspend mode when there's harsh changes, and then they just remain suspended, and upon contact with moisture again, then they just Scientists have suggested that life started on Earth in this way, that some of these microbes may have got transported accidentally through meteors or something, and then upon re-entry, managed to disperse and then became the catalyst for life to start on Earth. Yeah. So, but I'm just telling you what I know and what is discussed out there. There's also this text that I found that says that it includes insects like scorpion, where the eggs don't need further nourishment from the mother, but it just need to be kept moist. Then the egg can continue. Which in many cases of those that is non-hard shelled eggs, yeah, the eggs just need moisture. Yeah, but there's an overlap with the Ransen. But the thing is, there's insufficient coverage in all the different sources to give a firm conclusion on this. And just when you thought, okay, that's fine, you know, then there's the fourth one, which is the Ruo Hua Sen manifestation. Yeah, any of you have seen manifestation beings? To give you an example of manifestation beings, I'll tell you, young people are actually more aware of them. You know, when you all play games, yeah, and then you spawn in the game. Ah, that's the closest I can use to describe to you manifestation beings. Yeah, when you go into the game world, right, and you appear, if you happen to chance upon a player who has just died and respawn, yeah, and you literally see the person just materialize in front of you, zoom. Ah, this is exactly what is more or less described in the text about manifestation. Yeah. That number one, do not need father and mother. In the games, when you all play, you all need father, mother, 9 months, then, yeah, if any game make it so real, you have to be born, you know, after 9 months, nobody will play that game. And this includes games like, I don't know, Medal of Honor, Code, CS, Go, whatever, yeah, or the latest, what is that game that, PUBG, yeah, these are human avatars, right? Yeah, but although human in nature, in a game, yeah, you are actually controlling a human avatar, but you don't have to be born the human way, yeah. So imagine you have to do that, right? Then when you go in the game, you are a fetus. And then you go to, like, Mom, I can't quit now. It's like, why? I'm only at the second trimester. The last time I almost got born, and then you switch off my phone, you take my phone away and reset it. So my pregnancy got terminated. I mean, I was the pregnancy. So can you please let me go through the second trimester this time? Yeah, okay. That game would never sell. Yeah, but maybe if kids play such a game, they may actually learn something. They may learn to be patient. They have to wait 9 months. Maybe we should fast forward, you know, like 9 minutes. 1 minute is equivalent to 1 month. They have to wait 9 minutes. Yeah, and maybe they have to press something, focus on it, or balance the phone, you know, train their concentration. I don't know. Yeah, but the thing is, in current games, you don't have to go through this birth process. Yeah, what happened? You just press start loading, and depending on how fast your phone is, then, shoom. Yeah. In the early days, you just appear, but later on, they kind of create this illusion of you jumping in by moving the viewport. Actually, all that happens is they are just moving some variables inside the computer program. They are just, and then to make it more realistic, they give it a bit of that bounce, you know. Yeah. And to someone else seeing you, they actually animate that avatar to do this. So it's as though you just pop in existence and then landed. Yeah. But that's all just numbers that we are manipulating. Yeah. So that's the closest to Hua Sen. Yeah. But now imagine that happening in real life. That would be so crazy, isn't it? That would be so crazy. But the Buddha is saying, in this world, there is such a category. Yeah. It's just that it's not so common. Yeah. And so few people have seen this. But there is such a category as well. And then, just when you thought that that's it, then, so my teacher goes on to describe that this four then encompasses the six realms, which we are more common, yeah, we are more familiar with. The heavenly, human, asura, animal, ghost, hell beings. Of which we are only familiar with two, really. Yeah. Viscerally, we are familiar with human and animal. Heavenly, manifestation. Hell, manifestation. We are not familiar with them, really. Yeah. Ghosts. many times we think that it's manifestation. I used to think that it's manifestation as well, but as I go through all the different texts, I wasn't searching for ghosts in the suttas, but when you go through enough, you see different mentions of different types of ghosts. Yeah, so the more I learn, the more unsure I become of what I thought I was sure, really. Yeah. So even ghosts, that we think we are quite sure of what ghosts are. The thing is that none of us have seen. And if we are to go by the sutras, then you realize that there's a whole spectrum of different beings, all classified under ghosts or hungry ghosts. Turn out that not all beings suffer like hungry ghosts. Hungry ghosts are just used as the placeholder name by virtue of the extremities of its suffering. So within the whole category of beings of ghosts, hungry ghosts suffer the most. Yeah. There are also ghosts who have it quite good. Yeah, relatively good anyway, because they have merits also. Yeah. So suffice to say, this worldview that is introduced by the Buddha to us in Buddhism can be quite staggering at best. Yeah. Not exactly your cup of tea or on a lazy Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Just when you thought, busy for the whole week, come for SGC, chill a bit. Then it's like, wah piang eh. This is more complicated than my work. Yeah. So then the question is, even if it's so complicated, why did Buddha tell us all about this? So number one, it wasn't really meant for us. Why? Because this was meant for those aspiring bodhisattvas. So sometimes, unfortunately, because we happen to use it to cover this text, and then you all see Diamond Sutra, quite interesting diamond, maybe I'll learn something about diamond. And then come here, But even more importantly, why did the Buddha tell us about all these different realms? It's because our myopic view creates a false impression of simplicity of our life. You see, if the only form of existence is human being, we may also think, how bad can it get? But guess what? Even if you just consider human existence, it can get really bad. Yeah, really bad. And I'm not even talking about past history, I'm talking about this very present moment. Yeah. Just on Friday. Yeah, Friday. So Friday happened to be totally open, didn't have anything on. And then guess what? This volunteer from the Dharma school in the monastery text me and told me that one of the volunteer teacher is in a very bad condition. Was in ICU, now in advanced care unit. Yeah, and the doctor basically said, just get ready soon. And so last year, I visited this teacher. Yeah. So on Friday, just the Friday that just passed, we went down, then talked to her a bit, and then guided her to do some chanting, and then later some other of the volunteer teachers came, and we did the Mito chant, and chanted for what would have been maybe an hour or so. At some point then not to sound frivolous, but I was thinking I guess it's up to me to sort of introduce a pause or a break, because the other devotees, they will feel paiseh to say, Sifu, can you think about? Yeah, so at some point, there were some other visitors, so I introduced a break, and then I told them that if they are going to come for like longer chanting, then they may want to take breaks, yeah, so that they can maintain a continuous chant throughout. So we were there from about 12 plus until close to 2-ish, yeah. So we left close to 2. Then that afternoon, at about 3 plus, 5 plus, I received a text that teacher has passed away at 3 plus. Yeah. You know, just now we talked about how our worldview is kind of simplified. We don't encompass all Singaporeans, for that matter. Not even all Singaporeans, not to mention all human beings. And then, if we don't even encompass all human beings, why bother about all the different forms of birth or the different realms for that matter? But I'll tell you, even as a human being, we don't even encompass the full range of human experience. Yeah, it's not clear to us as well. Birth, and then there's death. Yeah, birth, aging, sickness, and death. Yeah. We only face the ones that we want to face. We only think about the ones that we want to think until we have no choice. Then we have to go and think about it. That's our usual approach. And that's why Buddhism is such a, yeah, it's a bit like the pebble in your shoe, you know. It's like, oh, you can't ignore it. It just keep coming at you until you take it out. So some people choose to take it out. Yeah. Take Buddhism out of their lives. Like, you have too much of a pain. Or they just change the whole shoe. Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, the reason why the Buddha still tells us all this is because this is how it is. And until we see the whole picture, we are going to live our life with certain assumptions based on what we see. You know how sometimes you see on the newspaper, in YouTube, on Facebook, about some people who literally like live their life as though the whole world revolves around them? You know? My neighbor cook curry, I smell. I mean, if it's me, I'm like, wow, free curry smell, you know? Yeah. But even if it's some dishes that you don't really particularly like, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, aircon wear aircon suit or what? Yeah, so you can see from such individuals, I mean, you've got to be thankful to them, you know, because they illustrate how our myopic, narrow-minded view about the world can then cause us to live our life with that kind of assumptions. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Now, I like to think that in some ways, the Buddha is very gently trying to highlight that same thing to us, except in a much larger scale. Let's stop thinking that there's only human beings and animals. Don't think that at most you become a chihuahua in a landed property in future life. By the way, there are many different suffering in animal realms. And don't think that even if you come back as a human being, you're going to have it easy. Because guess what? Being a Singaporean is pretty good already. Having it pretty good. And even as a Singaporean, there are a lot of different circumstances as well. Yeah. And the larger picture is even beyond that. That no choose upon death. Yeah. That you choose with your actions, the way you live your life day in, day out. Yeah, those choices were made, much like as I share in some classes. The the end result posting, like the recent O-level posting, is not determined by the day when the student is receiving the results. But it's determined not even on the day when he's sitting for the exams, but determined, decided by the student from Sec 1 to Sec 4. How the student wants to attend the class. And for that matter, even from P1 to P6, somewhat indirectly, but still influenced. So here, for the Bodhisattva, those who want to reach the epitome of human development, who is no longer satisfied. In some ways, we have to be greedy to be a Buddha. Yeah. If you're content with just, you know, getting a degree, going to get a job, yeah, get a day job, as they will say it. Yeah, just get a day job, find a partner, settle down, and then, you know, work the rest of your life, paying off your mortgage, and then after that, yeah, hope for an early retirement, and then go and enjoy yourself. If that is your cup of tea, then still there's something to be learned from Buddhism, yeah, but not this particular text. Yeah, this particular text is for those who are no longer satisfied with just that, because starting to get glimpses or appreciation, maybe not direct glimpses, but appreciation for the larger picture. And so then, the Bodhisattva encompasses not just human beings, but beings of all the different states, including yet a further classification, those with forms, those without forms, those with perceptions, those without perceptions, and those who have neither perception nor non-perception. Yeah. In other words, to encompass all possible permutation and categories of beings that exist. No longer content with living the life in a very narrow manner. Oh, I have a stable job. I'm paying off my mortgage. I don't care what my neighbors are going through. I don't care about people who don't have enough. I don't care about this or that. I'm having too much to think about already. Of course, sometimes maybe we feel that way. Yeah. And maybe when you do feel that way, maybe you are the one who need help. Yeah. So a Bodhisattva would have gone beyond that. Then my teacher highlight here something very interesting. He says that this whole section focuses on one key thing, which is that the Bodhisattvas, with reference to the earlier question, how does one who is aspiring to practice this Bodhisattva path, how does this person abide in? Yeah, that means, how do you practice? Where do you put your mind at? And how do you transcend and vanquish the mind? Yeah, but in the earlier part, what is this mind that you are trying to vanquish? It's not so clear. Yun he tiao fu qi xing. Yeah. Then my teacher explained a bit about the default state. Yeah. The tendency to regress. Yeah. From the higher goal to the lower goal. Like in the context of students, you aspire to study really hard. Wow. To be a top student. Then later, halfway through, aiya, top student so xiong. Aiya, I just be a second tier student can already. So that's considered regression. Yeah. Maybe. Mm. So in this case, for Bodhisattvas, it is that there are a lot of different categories of regression. One particular is the mindset that, aiya, I'm actually getting on with my own cultivation. Why should I have to bother with others? Maybe I shouldn't bother with others. I just focus on my own practice. Maybe this is for me. Sometimes I also feel that way. So here, then my teacher highlighted that in the past, if you look at the suttas, then there's the agamas that describe how it's like in the Buddha's time. Yeah, so I just read a short verse here. Yeah. 佛在世的时候, 有个比丘, yeah, so in the Buddha's time, there was this bhikshu, this monk. 他看见大众生缺少当执事的人, yeah. So he saw that in the community, there's insufficient individuals to serve as like community officials. Yeah, that means to take on duties and responsibility to serve the community. So then he had this mind. 他心里想, 我得阿罗汉以后发心为大众生服务. So that's two parts. 我得阿罗汉以后, yeah, when I have attained arahanthood, yeah, after that, not before that. Yeah, 我发心为大众生服务. Then he willingly, voluntarily, this fasting here is talking about, you know, undertaking this duty to serve the community. Mm. So in Buddhism, there's something interesting. When you are the community of officers or officials, you're not becoming the one with power to rule over people. No, it's to serve the community. So the concept of hierarchy is very different. When you are on top, you are actually serving people. Yeah. When you are below, you are doing your practice, so called below. Yeah. So this is what was happening. Mm. So then my teacher highlighted that. He practiced. Then finally, he go from first Sotapanna, Sakatagami, Anagami, then Arahanthood. Attain Arahanthood. Then what happened? So. You know what happened? Oh, then Buddha told him, 佛就对他说, 你以前想发心为大众生服务, 现在要发心了. If one day you come before SGC, then suddenly Buddha talk to you. Now you are quite okay, you should come and be volunteer, be Sabusa. I think either you immediately after when Sifu arrived, immediately, three prostration, and then Sifu, I'm ready. Give to me, Xiong Xiong. Or you never come back again. If the statue talk to you. If the statue ever talk to you, this is what I advise you to do. Tell Buddha, Namo Buddhaya, please. Hold, then record. Can you repeat what you just said? Then that's proof, ma. You know? Yeah? If you don't have proof, please don't bother telling me about it. Yeah? Because I will definitely ask you, do you have proof? In a dream, in a dream, can have a lot of dreams, lah. In a dream, anyone can dream anything. Anyway. So, there are many angles here also. Yeah. One is, traditionally, those who, as I said, those who become community officials, their mindset is, I'm here to serve. We're not saying all are like that, because in the Buddha's time, it is said that Venerable Devadatta, he wanted to usurp power. Yeah, not to serve community, he just want to be the Sangha leader. He want to replace the Buddha. Yeah, so don't get all rosy about it, okay? Yeah, all romantic and idealistic about it. Even in the Buddha's time, there were those who just want to be an official to lord over people. Yeah, just like now. Yeah. Whether in the Sangha or in society, in the company, or maybe in the family. Yeah. But the not so much traditional, but the upright, the mindset according to the teachings is, when we have the ability, we rise to the occasion to take up the responsibility. Yeah. So here, my teacher highlighted, in this case, what kind of mind is the Bodhisattva subduing? By encompassing all the sentient beings. Yeah. What is he subduing? So my teacher highlighted here, when a Bodhisattva practices at a certain point, then they have the ability to enter Parinibbana. So the Bodhisattva at this point must subdue this mindset, the intent to enter Parinibbana. Must subdue this. Very interesting. Yeah. What story? Yeah, so just ask him to go and fasting. Okay. Let me see. Okay. 佛这位善知识真是不可思议，以前有过的妄想，佛都知道。 Yeah. So Buddha, this good spiritual guide, spiritual friend, he's quite in a way incredible, 不可思议, yeah. So unfathomable. Whatever thoughts you have, even stray thoughts you have, the Buddha can know. Yeah. So 但没得阿罗汉的时候, 佛不说, yeah, but in this case, before that person has attained arahant, the Buddha don't say anything. 佛在世的时候为大众生服务，要到阿罗汉的境界, as I mentioned earlier, they must reach that state. 三国以前都不及格, 不见那时候的 可见那时候的佛教有多么高尚。 反观我们现在的佛教怎么样? Yeah. In some other places, my teacher also highlighted this. So in that occasion, he said, but if at this moment we apply this, then maybe hard to find people to serve the community. Yeah. And then he highlighted something. He said that current monastery, the moment you are ordained, fasting, go and do work. My teacher don't agree to this. My teacher says, when you are just newly ordained, you should do your practice first. You just ordained, you haven't even learned anything, you haven't even done your practice, how do you go and serve? 你拿什么去服务大众生? 拿烦恼去服务大众生? Yeah. So that's why I repeatedly highlight to the Lord. 哎呀, 姐了, 师母可以讲这句话吗? I say, you're just 当耳边风, huh? So I sometimes highlight the volunteers. You must attend the class. Cannot keep skipping. You all must attend the retreat. I can assure you, all the decisions I made until this point, as far as volunteer work and so on and so forth is concerned, it's not simply I suka suka, 幸苦该和, happy, now today's mood like that, tomorrow change my mind, just like that. Yeah, there's some basis for the decisions I made. Yeah. So, but yeah. So my teacher was highlighting that in the Buddha's time, the arahants, they don't just practice on their own; they also come and serve the community. Yeah. But that's only when they're alive. Then after that, they enter Parinibbana. Then case closed. So then, link to the earlier part, that unlike the arahants, Bodhisattvas don't just strive towards Nibbana, enter Parinibbana, and then case closed. Yeah, but subdue that inclination to enter. Yeah, so that the Bodhisattva can continue to to guide, yeah, to teach, to assist. Yeah. Not to just hang around and, eh, how to put it, when are we having lunch gathering? No. Not for that purpose. Not for that purpose. But hang around, so-called hang around in samsara, yeah, to do what? To benefit sentient beings. Mm. Yeah, so, 降服二乘心, so, subdue this dual vehicle mindset. What is this dual vehicle? Number one, referring to the Sravaka mindset. Yeah, that's the first vehicle. Second, Pachika Buddha vehicle. Mm. The third is the Bodhisattva vehicle. So the Bodhisattva must subdue the first two mindset. Otherwise, when they are in the first few stages, they cannot enter Parinibbana. So no problem. But once they reach stage 7, they are able to. Yeah. My teacher over here highlighted stage 8. Yeah. Stage 8 has transcended Arahant. Yeah. In the Avatamsaka Sutra, stage 7 you can enter already. Equivalent to Arahant. So you can actually enter. Yeah. It's like now. Let's say I just snap my finger. Yeah, I just snap my finger and you can enter Parinibbana. How many of you want to enter? Actually, not much. Nobody. Only maybe one or two. Let's say I snap my finger, okay? And all your house loan cleared. Yeah. Yeah, all your house loans cleared. Who do you want? You want. Of course, you want merciful. Yeah. But because of that, maybe you may feel like, work or don't work, also no problem. Yeah? But out of compassion, you stay off the house loan. Continue to work so that it can benefit your colleagues or something. Who want to do that? Mm. So Bodhisattvas hang around in samsara for one and only one purpose. 我皆令入无余涅槃而灭度之. So, to do what? To cause all the sentient beings that has been listed earlier, all the different categories, to slowly nudge them, guide them, to hurt them in a way, yeah, to give them teachings, to help them to move towards what? To move towards enlightenment. Especially those who are at the higher stage, you see the contrast? They can enter. They choose not to enter so that we can enter. Ultimate sacrifice. So, 第二颗是第一心. Yeah, so, this section here there's a subtitle. The topmost or foremost mind or mindset. Yeah, what does it refer to? Refers to the Bodhisattva's great loving kindness and compassion. 指菩萨的大慈悲. Yeah, 大慈悲. Sometimes I think about what Bhante said. Bhante, during the Mother's Day lunch, he will often highlight how mothers are like Guanxin Pusa. Many times when mothers bring the kids to this place and that place, you look at the mothers like, wow, they are so happy, you know. But actually, maybe the mother had gone to these places so many times, bored already. But when they bring their kids to go to this world, that world, they really look like they're enjoying. And they are really enjoying. Yeah, because they see their child, their only son enjoying. Then they are filled with so much joy also. Yeah. Bodhisattvas already accomplished all the different stages. Yeah. But can you imagine if the Bodhisattvas come and teach and then the Bodhisattvas are like that? Same again. Which stage are y'all? Huh? Haven't reached first stage. Okay, we go back to first stage again. Four Noble Truths. You all know, ah? Huh? Don't know. Okay, I repeat, ah. This is the 3,457 kalpa, 5,787, 6,455th time I'm repeating, but never mind, I will repeat. Yeah, my job, Bodhisattva, what to do. Yeah, so listen carefully and I shall speak. First Noble Truth, the truth of suffering. Huh? Will you? So Bodhisattvas, when they teach, they must teach as though, wow, this is so amazing, you know, like they just discovered it yesterday. Yeah, and without lying some more. Yeah, so amazing. Yeah. And then the camera turned around from the excited Bodhisattva, then turned around all the students. Then occasionally bopian, the student have to, then the Bodhisattva have to tell some jokes. Then the student, or else our 绝招, ghost story. Yeah. When all fails, talk about ghosts. Who are all wake up already. Maybe all from hungry ghost realm. So talk about ghosts, all wake up. I don't understand why, but I get so excited when we talk about ghosts. Aiyo, jialat. Talk about Nibbana. Talk about ghosts. Wow, hey, Sifu, I got a question. Okay. Talk about emptiness. Any question? Amitabha. So, yeah. 我皆令入 无余涅槃而灭度之. So maybe we need to go into a bit of the essence. So 发大悲心教化这么多的众生, 目的在哪里呢? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Yeah, recently I have been talking to different individuals, counseling and so on. Yeah, I keep coming back to this theme. And then today, morning ITBW, Marcel highlighted that in one of the book, it talk about begin something with the end in mind. Yeah. So last week HGC, we actually talked about that. Yeah, think about what you want to see at the end of the year. Yeah. So what is the end? What's the purpose? 教他们做什么呢? Teach them to do what? Play games? Teach them to do what? Do poster? No, actually these are all just the temporary. Yeah, that's not the final goal. 他没有衣服, this part is very important. I mean all parts are important, but this part, listen carefully, because a lot of details. So, 他没衣服, 给他衣服, 他没读书, 为他造学校. This is what we often term as charity. Yeah? But you must know, the first one is just material aid. Second is worldly knowledge. Yeah? Give the person clothes, give the person education. 有病为他造医院. Wow, actually this is a bit 夸张. 有病他要看医生就好了, 不用造医院. But Amitabha, my teacher said this, Amitabha. Yeah. One day when I meet my teacher, I think he will 参贵合掌, 这个, 讲课, 还讲我的, 讲我讲的东西. Amitabha. Yeah. But 顺下来嘛, 顺下来. So, 这是好嘛? So, 发无上菩提心的人, 这些事情是应该做的. So this is a theme. You may not see the pattern yet, right after this. This is a theme that keeps surfacing in our monastery. And in many ways, that's why I connect so strongly with my teacher. Yeah. Because these are all worldly aid, worldly support. Yeah. this is something that someone who walked the Bodhisattva path should do also. But, 但是, 他的大悲心不单只是做这些, 做这散乱的善法, not just this. When a Bodhisattva is a Bodhisattva, the assistance, the aid, is not limited to just doing charity, worldly charity. We don't say worldly charity is bad. No, it's good. You know, when a person is hungry, you need to give the person food. But you don't stop there. When a person needs a livelihood, you guide them, guide them to go and improve themselves, WDA, $500, go and learn something, help them apply for a job. But don't stop there, because that is only short term. No matter how long, it's still short term. Yeah. So, ultimately, yeah, out of compassion, then the Bodhisattva goes beyond that. Yeah. How so? 而是希望众生得无余涅槃. The ultimate root aspiration. And in many other classes, Great Compassionate Mantra class, Heart Sutra, I keep highlighting this. Yeah, Bodhisattvas have one common root vow. Yeah, their own specific vow may differ, but they all point towards this. Ultimately, to help all sentient beings attain Parinibbana. And what is that? 消灭三界所有的惑业苦, 入狱不生不灭的境界, 究竟的解脱一切的痛苦, 永久的安乐自在. So Mahaparinibbana is a complete cessation of what? Of all the defilements, of all the afflictions, the karma and the suffering. Yeah. To enter into the state of birthless and deathless. Yeah. To enter into that state of real sublime peace. 发无上菩提心的菩萨, 最高的目标是这样子. So, 最高哦, the highest, this is the highest goal. So there's different stages. Doesn't mean that Bodhisattvas cannot do charity. Can, you should. Yeah, the early stages, that's what Bodhisattvas do. But should not just be limited to that. So over here, 我皆令入无余涅槃而灭度之. This般若 Jin Gang Jing,般若 Jing is talking about this. If you look at, let's say, other sutras, then sometimes, Buddha, the vow, want to, you know, if you are sick, the Buddha vow that it will cure you. If you are hungry, vow that it will give you food. You have no clothes, shower you with rains of clothes. Yeah, you don't have amenities, you know, give you a lot of amenities. Yeah. But if you look at all the subtext, and sometimes literally in the vows, it is ultimately to lead towards final liberation, Nibbana. So, I think you all have reached the limit, your limit of supramundane Dharma. Anymore, you become supramundane already. You become, yeah, not the 超越 mundane, but you become super mundane, not supra mundane. your brain get fried. So you can ask yourself, before we even talk about wanting to liberate all sentient beings, within our simplified worldview, number one, towards ourselves, what kind of benefit are we bringing ourselves? You know, if you take out an Excel file and really, or Google Sheet, you really plot out what is the benefit you are bringing yourself. And you can split into three categories: happiness here and now, yeah, present life happiness, future life happiness. For future rebirth, where do you want to go to? Yeah. And then ultimate happiness, Nibbana. Yeah. And then under these three categories, you can put three tabs, and then in each tab, you put in how much time, effort, what are you doing to achieve that? I think it'd be interesting. Yeah. And that's just for yourself. Then you open up either another Google Sheet or you create another tab. Or maybe you have one tab and three broad rows. Yeah. Present life, future life, supramundane, or maybe the other way around to respect supramundane. But maybe for most people, you prefer to put below because hidden from view, don't see supramundane too. Yeah. Then you can have one more tab. How about for others? Yeah. And maybe you can have inside the for others, also these three categories. And in the larger scheme of things for this life, yeah. You know that day when I was sitting there by the hospital bed and we were chanting, Namo Amitabha. Yeah. So it's not the melodious Namo Amitabha. No. Yeah. It's just recitation. Yeah. Because we wanted to ease the patient. In fact, we keep asking the patient, the volunteer teacher, not to chant out. Kui ya bu kui yo. Do I bu kui leo? Literally, I bu kui leo. And halfway through, I was actually thinking, will we get to chant until she passed away? Yeah. It didn't happen that way. But then it also got me thinking, how about the rest of us? How do we know how much more time we have, you know? Yeah. I always tell my mom or some students, yeah, I might just die earlier. Then my mom standard reply. Yeah. This year, I will be 46. So technically, I have gone past my halfway mark already. I mean, a couple of years ago, statistically. Because men about 80 to 82. Ma. So once I reach 41, I cross it. But now maybe by next year, you know, things keep shifting. Ma. Some numbers keep shifting up. So maybe my halfway mark keeps shifting also. Yeah. But sooner or later you reach your mark. Yeah. So then I started thinking, yeah. What else can I do with my life? And you know what? Some people wonder, how come I'm always smiling? I mean sometimes for those who volunteer with me, they see me don't smile before lah. Then they are But in the past when I was a lay person, you know, a common comment from colleagues is that, how come I never see you not smile? You're always smiling, you know. Yeah. Because I for the most part I take things very okay, no problem. Yeah. So even in the past, I didn't really have the kind of career ambition, honestly. I don't know how it happened, I just happened to get offered this and that opportunities, and then okay, I just try, okay. And then I was just having fun doing what I was doing, and then boom, suddenly I become a monk, oh, okay. And then now as a monk, even the Heart Sutra, it started because of a book. Then they asked, okay, you ask, okay, we try. And then I just share according to what I've learned from my teacher. Yeah. So sometimes some students, whenever it's start of the year, they ask me, so what plans do you have for this year? Or sometimes they ask me, what plans do you have for yourself for the next few years? Especially when I'm shifting places. And then I realized that I don't really have much plans. Yeah. But I do plan a lot. It's just that I don't really plan for myself, honestly. Yeah. I don't really plan for myself what I want to do. Yeah. All the plans I came up with is mainly to see what needs to be taught, what students need, and so on. You know, if you take all of that out, I would just do whatever I was instructed by my teacher and just do my own study. Yeah, so if you ask me, am I ready to die? Yeah, quite ready. Yeah. Quite okay. Are you all ready to die? What a question to ask. I'll make sure I ask again during Chinese New Year. Then after that, nobody ever come for class anymore. Yeah. Yeah. But good to sit down and ask yourself, how many more years do we have? Technically, I would have about 45 years left, plus minus. 45 years. Eh? Is it 45? Oh no, 45 will be 90. 91. Oh, maths fail. Jialat. Well, I didn't fail my maths really. It was control and instrumentation. 40. About less than 40, 30 plus years. So how many more retreats you can calculate? Yeah. So that's, and how many blood donation I can go for? I calculate. Wow, can I reach 100 leh? It can if I go for 4 in a year. 4 a year, you can hit 100. 25 years, all you need 25 years. But by the time you reach a certain age, they don't let you anymore. It's not that you can donate until 80 years old, cannot. Yeah, I think 60 or 70, something like that. So ask yourself. I know last week, was it last week? Last week there was class, right? So I asked y'all may want to stay back and then do your exercise. Then after, how come last week by 3:30 all gone? What bolang zo? So very good. Today we have 15 minutes. If you all have no questions, we'll end now. Yeah. Yes.
Can I ask about the
Susan? Yes.
You were saying bacteria are also considered.
I'm not saying it is considered. I'm saying some teachers highlight that it could be included. And then the basis, there are different bases. One of them is that the Buddha highlighted that in the water, there are living organisms. And those with psychic vision should not use psychic vision when they are drinking that water. Otherwise, they will break the first precept. No, not that they kill with the psychic vision, but they will be killing it consciously. So the counter example is when the Arahant who was blind was doing walking meditation, he stepped on a lot of insects and killed them in the process. Okay, maybe I'm not so sure whether it's a lot, but some at least. But the Buddha said that he's faultless, yeah, because he did not encompass the perception of the insects, yeah.
So how about those? If it's bacteria, is also certain,
then how about those sick people with virus or bacteria or whatever?
So you're not supposed to kill them.
Well, the key thing is to kill. To break the precepts on killing, there are 5 conditions. Yeah. 众生想起杀心前方便众生死. So the first is there must be a sentient being. Now let's just put some assumptions, assuming that bacteria, living microbes, they are living organisms. Yeah, they are sentient beings, assuming. Then fulfills the first condition. But second is 众生想. That means the person carrying out the action must perceive the sentient being. While we know it conceptually, intellectually, How many of you can see the microbes in the air, on your face, for that matter, on the surface of your eye, and on your hand? Anyone? Ken, don't raise your hand. See me after this. I mean, maybe some of you can. I don't know, okay? But so unless you can see it, otherwise, missing factor. Yeah, and this is a crucial factor, because without that factor, actually the next one, 起杀心, where is your intent to kill directed to? Who are you directed to? You actually, it's just a concept to us. Ah, wash your hand. I mean, you know, when we say wash your hand to, the thing is, there are many people who just inside wash. Why? Because it's just a concept to them. Okay, wash lah. It's like buying insurance, just buy lah, then see what happens. Any other questions? So, to summarize today's session, again, the Dhamma Sutra is directed to Bodhisattvas. But like the Bodhisattva vows, it doesn't mean that we cannot use it if you're not a Bodhisattva. But ask yourself, how big or small a Bodhisattva are you ready to be? For a start, be a Bodhisattva for yourself. Yeah. Don't wait for the Bodhisattva outside to come and save you. Be a Bodhisattva for yourself, even if you're not ready to be a Bodhisattva to others. Yeah. Liberate yourself. Liberate yourself from suffering. A show of hands, did y'all sort of feel stressed or suffered in some ways in the past 1 month? Were you all unhappy in some ways at some point in time? Yeah. So ask yourself, now imagine if now I snap my fingers and then you are temporarily at that point in your life again. And you have a choice. Either to experience that again or not experience it again. Don't worry about how, but just ask yourself a simple question. Would you rather experience it again and suffer or not? Any of you, yes, want to suffer again? You need some counseling. Yeah. It's like I ask you, I to baby you, my. I. Yeah. But in this case, not to baby you. Okay? We can't go back to the past. But we can change the future. Yeah, so liberate yourself from future suffering, present suffering, future suffering. Liberate yourself in that way. Yeah, don't worry about the other sentient beings first. Liberate yourself first. Yeah, and don't try to liberate everything first. Just pick one and ask yourself: should that happen again? First of all, do you want to be free of suffering in such a circumstances? If you want, then we sit down. Then we figure out how to achieve that. And the big question is, what are you ready to do to achieve that? Because, you know, sometimes we are conflicted. We say we want A, but actually we are not ready to do B to get A. Yeah. Everybody also wants to be successful, but who is willing to spend time to be successful? Who have time? You know, as we say it in a very Singlish colloquial way, where got time? Yeah, we all want the prize, but who want to put in the effort? So ask yourself this question. So this part, Bodhisattvas have gone beyond all that, ready to do it for all sentient beings. Maybe we are not ready, but at least for a start, ask yourself, are you ready to liberate yourself from at least one suffering this year? Amitabha. 愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，愿得智慧真明了，普愿这障悉消除，普愿这障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛，起立。